Hello, everyone. Welcome to Eagles Power Hour. I'm your host, Patrick Frakes. We'll get into the rest of the intro in just a second. I just wanted to preface this with a quick update slash news situation. So me and Kyler recorded this episode on Friday, March 1st, and the plan was to release it Tuesday night. This would be March 5th, which is today when I'm recording this. But we talk about coaching changes, and of course, right before I'm getting ready to release our coaching update, our coaching staff update, Eastern Washington hires a new coach that we did not talk about in this episode. Eastern has hired former Eastern running back Tamarik Pierce as the new running back coach. Vacancy there is something that we hit on in the episode. I just wanted to throw in this quick update for you guys. We did not have news of this yet when we recorded this. So, it doesn't really change a ton of the episode. We just didn't hit on Tamarik. I will hit on the Tamarik hiring in an upcoming episode, potentially a little bit closer to spring football. But I just want to let you guys know so that you know we're not completely missing the memo. Thank you guys for listening, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with, of course, the founder of Eagles Power Hour, Kyler Neal, is here to talk some Eagle football leading into spring football. So thank you guys for listening, and I hope you enjoy. Alrighty, folks, welcome to Eagles Power Hour, your official, unofficial Eastern Washington affiliate on the Big Sky Podcast Network. I'm your host, Patrick Frakes, and we have the creator, the founder, back again today. Kyler, how are we doing?
I'm doing good, man. I was home this week, and then I'll be traveling for the next 3 weeks. So, you know, I got some time. I'm always willing to talk Eastern sports, especially after, you know, the basketball team just went back-to-back champs. So I'm in a good mood. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, man. So we're recording this Friday. I'm not exactly sure when it's going to come out yet, though, but man, awesome day yesterday. Regular season champs, amazing stuff. But we're not talking hoops yet today. Spring football is within 2 weeks. Yeah. I cannot believe it. It is March 1st, and spring ball starts on March 18th, which is just insane. The time is flying by. They're doing kind of a weird like situation where they have two practices and then spring break and then the rest of them. But we're gonna kind of hit on, there's been a little bit of a coaching staff shuffling around this offseason, which a lot of it definitely probably needed. But, you know, we're gonna hit very briefly on some of the stuff that I've already hit on, and then into some of the newer things that have happened recently. So way back in, I believe, December, defensive coordinator Jeff Kopp was fired. He coordinated two of the worst defenses I think I've ever seen at Eastern Washington. And so, it was time to move on. I'm sure he's a great guy, whatever. And then to replace him, Eastern hired Eric Sanders. He was the linebackers coach and defensive run game coordinator last year. Kind of a strange move, but we already have a podcast discussing that that I can link in the description. But now we're going to start talking about some of the newer changes in staff. So Jake Rasmussen, he was the director of football operations. He was a guy that a lot of internal people really loved and spoke very highly of. He took a position at Fresno State, so he'll be moving on. Kyler, do you have any thoughts on that?
Man, it just feels like Fresno State is now the Yankees or the Mariners, they're taking everyone. They took our quarterback, took our coaches. So, you know, I'm starting to hate Fresno State. And back in the day when they were in the WAC, I used to love Fresno State, but I'm starting to want to punch him in the face. Because, yeah, like you just said, Jake, everyone loved him. Everyone I've talked to loved him. So, I mean, this is kind of a big, big loss for us, but also a great opportunity. So I'm never going to be mad when coaches use Eastern Washington to elevate their career, their playing. I mean, whatever, Fresno is a good program. So, yeah, congrats, Jake, but bummer we lost him.
Yeah, and he's a guy that, I mean, like I said, everyone that I've talked to has said Jake is an awesome dude. I believe he was the guy that had to organize all of the logistic crap when the Florida thing happened, and then there was a hurricane coming. And, I know it was still a tough trip for the players, but the fact that we got it done, got the paycheck, great stuff. Okay, and then moving on, running back coach, what was his full name? Brandon Johnson Farrell, I believe it was. He just kind of, there was no really announcement or anything that came with it. He just kind of disappeared from the coaching staff. So my assumption is either a contract ran out or he was just let go. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Not really. You know, we didn't see him for long, so I don't really know how it was going to play out anyway. It looks like now he's a wide receivers coach at Valdosta. So we'll see how that goes. But I mean, he did well at Sioux Falls. So I was optimistic bringing in some maybe fresh new blood that has been successful in the past. But again, the running game wasn't where I wanted it to be last year. Got some talent. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I really have no opinion because we didn't get to see much of him to see if he can develop guys, see if he can improve year over year. But yeah, it's interesting. So we'll see kind of what happens. I like new blood in there if they're willing to be Eags. So
yeah, and we'll hit on the positions that aren't covered yet, towards the end. But there is no new running back coach announced yet.
Right.
But you know, we'll work on that once it is officially announced. Next up, defensive line coach Matt Ulrich. Left for the special teams coordinator job at Mercer. I kind of heard that this was a pay raise and promotion going from a position coach to a coordinator. This one was a little bit out of nowhere. It happened pretty late, as you see the timestamp in the tweet. This is February 19th, just, you know, a week and a half ago, or whatever, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago-ish. And it kind of came out of nowhere. Coach Ulrich was one of the guys that, I mean, when I kind of found out it was internal, Matt Ulrich was probably my number one that I thought would be getting that DC job. So it came out a little bit of a surprise to see him kind of just leave out of nowhere. But, you know, we can't blame the dude. He's taking a pay raise and moving up the coaching tree, getting that coordinator job. You have any input on that?
Yeah, it's always just a bummer when you see someone go from a historic powerhouse FCS program to, you know, maybe a program that's in the building in the SoCon. You know, Mercer, they had a good year last year. They made the playoffs, but they haven't been this powerhouse. So this is always a bummer. It almost seems like it's, of course, pay raise, different type of position. But it seems more like a lateral move in the grand scheme of things. But again, I'm not ever going to fault a coach for making a decision to get more money, get a higher graded position, and, you know, look out for themselves. I mean, this is a dog-eat-dog world in the coaching scheme. As long as you don't go from Eastern to the Grizz for a lateral change, you know, I'm going to support you, and I hope you're successful. I'm not going to have any ill will towards any of these coaches that are leaving us for what they think is greener pasture.
Yeah, and Ulrich, another guy that I heard a lot of good things about.
Yeah, people like him.
Yeah, and freakishly tall, first of all. But
how tall is he?
I don't know, but you see him standing next to recruits and he's got like 4 inches on these like 6'4" defensive ends. And I'm like, geez, how tall is that guy? I never, that was a question.
Like
I wanted
a
to
football
ask.
Guy. I mean, just look at his face right there. That is a football coach.
That's very true. But unfortunate to lose him. I know. I mean, I heard lots of good things about him. I mean, I think the D line definitely took some strides in the right direction last year compared to, I think 2022 is pretty one of the lower defensive line, like one of the worst defensive line years we've had in a long time. And then in 23, we had a guy that was getting looks at, like, hey, it wasn't first team All American, but I believe defensive tackle Matt Brown was a guy getting looked at for you know, it was like third team All America lists. Like,
right,
you know, obviously it's not like a big accolade, but I mean, like, obviously that defense wasn't very good, and having defensive linemen getting looks, that stuff, you know, I thought he did a pretty good job with that D-line, which is why I thought he had a chance at the defensive coordinator job. But
now we will. One thing that does kind of excite me about a move like this is, you know, we always have a tough time scheduling other FCS opponents, you know, to come to Cheney. So we're on the road a lot. Now, this year is a little different. We actually get some home games. But, you know, going to a Mercer, a SoCon team, which is a really good conference, and maybe getting a top four SoCon team, maybe we could do a home and home. I mean, I'm sure he didn't leave with bad intentions and bad. I'm sure he left in a fine way, but I don't know if he can swindle Mercer to do a home and home with us. I think that'd be fantastic for Mercer fans, getting another powerhouse outside of the SoCon to come to them. And then of course us, It's fun when Southeastern Louisiana comes in. It's fun when Monmouth comes in. These random teams that we just will never play unless we get a random opportunity in the playoffs. So maybe him going over to Mercer can help some of our out-of-conference scheduling.
Yeah, it's always fun playing other mid to like semi-upper playoff-ish teams in the FCS. It's always fun. Always fun to play those games. Like a, I don't know, I think of a Tennessee State game, a Monmouth this year, the C-Law. Like those games are really fun. The C-Law game was a blast this year.
Oh,
a competitive game most of the way through. Really fun. Seeing a team that you normally don't see was really fun. They have some absolute studs on that defense that, you know, maybe their defense didn't put up the best numbers of all time, but you're like, oh, those are some Louisiana recruits down there. Like
they're big talented boys.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always fun, you know, seeing talent from other areas of the country and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And so with those exits from the program, that leaves us with two position groups that don't have a primary head, like a primary position coach right now, the running backs and the defensive line. And I guess the other kind of title that was there last year that wasn't this year is that isn't at least accounted for right now is a defensive run game coordinator. I'm not, I mean, that could potentially just go back, like Eric Sanders could just keep up with that as a DC because that's what he did last year. But, you know, that's a responsibility that hasn't been named quite yet, as well as, you know, defensive line and running backs. Once we get the news of those coaching changes and whoever is hired in those spots that I'll talk about it here on the podcast. But we do have one addition, and this is an addition that I've heard a lot of great things about. New special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach, Danny McDonald. Danny is a guy that he was at Eastern as a quality control guy in, I think it was like 2018 to 2020. Mm-hmm. And then he followed Coach Smedding, who was the DC those years, followed him pretty much everywhere he's gone. He followed Smed to Boise State as a defensive analyst, and then he followed him to Auburn, spent 2 years at Auburn as a defensive analyst. And then last year, he was a defensive quality control guy at Washington State. And then he is now hired back to Eastern Washington to be an outside linebackers coach slash special teams coordinator. I'll throw this to you, Kyler. What are your kind of takeaways from this hire right now?
I mean, it's just nice to finally see we get a special teams coach back. It's been wild that, you know, Eastern historically has been this powerhouse. And I think we've been shooting ourselves in the foot without getting the right people in the coaching spots and even leaving coaching spots blank. I mean, we've kind of seen special teams has been really up and down the last few years. I mean, and it was a program where I thought we always had good special teams for a long time. And then there was like a lack of special teams pretty much since that 2018 time period. It seems like right after that championship year. I mean, Weber State, every time you watch those Weber State Eastern Washington games, you see special teams is a big factor in those games. And not having someone who's dedicated to it, I mean, that's probably some of the pain points we've seen in the last few years. So I'm just really excited. I don't care who it is, but it is nice. Yeah. This has been a guy who has seen Eastern Washington at the championship level, been on the staff when we were a title contender year in and year out. So bringing that type of mentality back, probably a good thing, especially when there's still quite a bit of new faces who weren't on our roster when we were, you know, going to Frisco, when we were a semifinal caliber team, top 10 type team. So, you know, bringing that back, trying to build that mantra that Eastern is a powerhouse in the Big Sky, a powerhouse in the FCS, a blue blood, if you will. I'm excited.
Yeah, Eastern hasn't had a designated special teams coordinator in 4 years, since 2019 with Heath Pulver. And it's crazy to me because it just seems not negligent, but it seems kind of weird that we wouldn't have like a guy who's dedicated, like you are a position coach, but your number one job is special teams. And it sounds like it was kind of divided up among the coaches. And from people I've talked to, it was primarily defensive coaches. And so hiring a special teams coordinator should hopefully take a lot of that pressure, take a lot of meat off the plate of these defensive coaches who have, you know, obviously there's been some coaching struggles the last couple of years. Like we've had that talent on the defense. They just haven't been aligned right, haven't had the right play call at the right time and situations like that. I'm hoping that, you know, because this defense was it was close. Like, there was a lot of plays where they were just two steps too slow, just a yard off alignment to where they could have been a average defense. Like, they wouldn't have been the worst defense in the league if I guess worst rushing defense in the league, I'll say, to be nice to us. But, you know, they're so close. There's so many little things. That's kind of my, I guess, assessment of the 2023 season has been so close on both sides of the ball, so close to being that next level team of back where we want to be. And so hopefully this is that thing that can close that gap. Another thing with Coach Danny, one, I think Coach McDaniels accidentally broke this news on EPH. So if that's not a good reason to listen to EPH, I think he accidentally broke this news. Because when we were doing the interview, he was like, yeah, now Coach McDonald, who we just hired as a special teams coordinator. And I'm like, that has not been announced. Who are you talking about? Like, I had that moment. I was like, oh, okay.
Look at Patty swindling people, getting that insider information.
I'm an investigative journalist, man. God. But Danny's a guy that's had a lot of run-ins with different Eastern guys. So obviously Jeff Schmetting, who was a DC here, he followed him all over the place. But then he also spent time at Auburn and Boise State with receivers coach Jeff McDaniels, like I was saying. He also had run-ins with Bodie Reeder, who was, I believe he was an offensive guy here. I can't quite remember. And then J.C. Sherritt. He coached with J.C. Sherritt. They're both kind of linebacker guys at Auburn in 2022. Mm-hmm. Just kind of interesting. There's a lot of those weird, like, for some reason, there's a lot of Auburn, Eastern Washington connections.
Yeah.
Same with Fresno State now. Like, there's those random schools that just, for whatever reason, there's like a pipeline between them. And so, interesting dynamic there. But he's a guy that knows Eastern, and he's been around. And one thing is, the outside linebackers title makes me wonder, are we going to see some schematic differences in the defense? Because typically in kind of a base 4-3, you typically wouldn't really have like an outside linebackers coach, just because your outside linebackers, their role is obviously different, but it's not like this huge difference from a Mike, like a middle linebacker, inside linebacker. And so it makes me wonder if we're going to see either more of a rover hybrid safety as that third linebacker in like a 4-2-5, or we could just see a 3-4 with a buck or something like that. Like, it makes me wonder if there's going to be more versatility and a different look at the outside linebacker spot, rather than having, you know, like in the past years, we've just had three inside linebackers playing those three spots. And I wonder if we're going to have more of a hybrid guy, because there's recruits that fit that mold that are coming in, at least this year. A guy like Connor Walker is one of those kind of, he played safety in high school. He's being listed as a linebacker. Seems like a guy that would fit that rover role really well. Same with like a guy like Tyce Donovan, listed as a safety. He played safety in high school, but he also was like up in the box a lot. So like, it makes me wonder if that's kind of where the direction of this is going personnel wise. I don't know if you have any other comments on that, Kyler.
No, I love everything you said. I mean, when I remember like the elite, maybe not even elite defenses, right? There's been a few elite defenses from when I was a student up until now, but it was always like the linebacking group was the star of the show. I mean, for a while, the late 2000s and then the early 2010s, like we had just studs at linebackers and they were able to save a lot of plays, even all the way up until probably Kettner. And then it's kind of fell off a little bit. And we do have athletes. We do have players. You can see it. Like you mentioned, though, it seems like we're always just a little bit of a step behind, which is kind of unfortunate. It seems like maybe speed's an issue. We'll have to see, but maybe it is just scheming. So I'm optimistic. I mean, you can't get much worse than what we were the last 2 years. So anything's an improvement almost. But I'm excited to see some type of change with the linebacking group and the front seven in general.
Yeah, and I have a lot of optimism, because this young core that hasn't really seen the field yet is very front seven, very talented guys. Particularly the linebackers, especially. And I mean, there's a few D-line guys in there too, but there's a ton of linebackers that really haven't seen the field besides like a few, like there's two or three of those guys played in like the Cal Poly game in the second half and the Montana State game in the second half. You know, a lot of Eastern fans didn't watch those sections of game just because A, you're either getting poured on and rain it versus in that Cal Poly game, and two, we're down by 60. So, you know, there's a lot of talent in the linebacker room, and we'll get to that. We're going to kind of talk about, with spring ball coming up here, we're going to talk about some of the position groups that, you know, we want to pay attention to in spring ball. But, I mean, I'm really excited about this front seven looking to the future. So, like I said, spring ball in just over 2 weeks. It's hard to see. There was an awesome graphic that I'm assuming Braden Harlow made that I was going to post here, but it was just really hard to read. So we have the website with the spring ball schedule. It's kind of weird. Like I said, we got two practices and then spring break, and then we have the rest of them. I think they're Monday, Wednesday, Friday practices, if I'm remembering right. But then the spring red white game is Friday, April 26th at 6 p.m. Unfortunately, it's the same night as the Cody Johnson concert in Spokane. But, you know, that's a game that I think a lot of people should get out to if they can, because there's so much youth and so many changes on the defensive side of the ball that I think we'll get a really good look at. One, if those schematic differences are coming, like what should we expect? But two, some players and some position groups to really pay attention to and just see what we're what we're going to be working with coming into 2024. Right. So we're going to throw it to you. What's the main one or two position groups as a group, as a whole, that you're really keeping an eye on heading into spring ball?
Yeah, it's actually going to be the running back group. We need to establish more of a run game. And you saw that kind of towards the end of the season. I mean, Tuna started finally taking games in his hands and kind of being that power back that we thought he'd be. And then we lost, you know, Jackson. So I kind of want to see who's going to be able to replace him. But also, it's really that front seven, because that's where we lost a lot of games. That's where just teams were able to run down our throats. And we have this big sky offensive system. All of our opponents were, I mean, it's very athletic dual threat quarterbacks for the most part.
Yep.
And without, you know, having better schemes, faster front seven, I mean, we saw when people were trying to run up the middle, they weren't that successful, but the outsides were just open. So, I mean, I even go back to like the Fresno State and North Dakota State game. North Dakota State, I actually thought our front seven played fairly well with them, which, you know, of course they beat us pretty easily, but I thought the front seven actually played fairly well with them because North Dakota State was doing a lot of just run up the middle. And that's actually where we were pretty successful. But once we start getting into these more athletic, faster teams like a Portland State, which unfortunately North Dakota State would blow out Portland State. But when they're fast, they're athletic, they're quick, that outside was open all the time. We just didn't have the right schemes. And we have a lot of athletic dudes on our defense. Our DBs are solid. We had some powerful linebackers in defensive line, but again, it was just you run 15 yards to any of the sidelines, and a 2 yard where maybe it looked like they would have a 1 to 2 yard gain turned into a 15, 20 multiple times. It's just kind of a bummer to see. So those are kind of the positions where I'm hoping, especially when we still have a pretty young quarterback who I like Kikoa. I like watching him play, and he made some strides last year. But if we don't have that running back or the running game to really, I guess, make defenses think a little bit more, you know, Kikoa can struggle. The running game, I want to establish a really good running game. Now, I still want us to be pass heavy because that's where our specialty is, and I don't want us to, you know, slide away from that. But we do need to have a little bit more of an established run game, and then that defensive front seven, man, we need to stop the mobile quarterbacks in the run game.
I had a very similar. So the two position groups that I kind of picked to break down a little bit, linebackers and offensive line.
Yeah.
And the offensive line might not be the first thing you think of because weirdly all five of them are seniors. We'll hit on them in just a second, but I'm gonna hit on the linebackers first. So obviously the linebacking core is the big question mark. You lose two of your main contributors, and Ben Allen and Jaron Banks. And, you know, they've had, you know, great careers at Eastern, and we thank them for their service, but they weren't necessarily all American level players. That's for sure. And I mean, Ben Allen was a very talented dude, but I don't know if those guys were had the level of talent that some of these younger guys coming up have. Right. Looking at the names that played a lot last year, kind of the penciled in three, if we're going with a 4-3, the three starters that kind of look like they get the most playing time, Adam Cohen, he was number 32 last year, UCLA transfer. And then you have Tomasini, he was an Idaho transfer. Yeah, he'd probably be playing the Mike, I would assume, or potentially the Sam, not totally sure. And then Connor O'Farrell, he is known by the players as the Alaskan Assassin. He was number 46 last year, played a little bit of will linebacker, that, you know, passing strength, off ball, more of a your hybrid linebacker. And, I mean, they all had good spurts last year. You know, Cohen's a very consistent player. I don't think he's a guy that's going to go make you 25,000 plays. He's not going to get a million tackles, but he's very consistent, plays gap sound. I really liked his game when I watched the tape. Tomasini is a guy, he's consistent, and he makes his plays, but he doesn't really have the speed of most D1 linebackers. And then Connor O'Farrell is a guy with a lot of athletic ability. We just haven't really seen him a ton. Right. So, you know, those three starters are guys that I think one, just with a little bit of better schematic things, that they can really succeed. But two, I don't think their jobs are safe. There's this young core that is very, very good, very talented group of linebackers, and Amani Williams, a Samurai Anderson, Bishop Blakeney. You know, there's a lot of those young guys that could definitely come up and take a job. Miles, like you said. So it's definitely the position group I'm the most interested in, to see where the turnover is, where the vets that stay in their job is. The only one that I think has a job pretty secure is Cohen. I think the other two could definitely, they could get their job taken, and I'm sure it'll be a rotation like we've seen in the past with all those guys. But, you know, a guy like Amani Williams is a guy that I've heard a ton of really good things from players, a guy that works really hard. He's going to be a redshirt junior all of a sudden next year, and you bet your butt he's going to be playing, because he was a guy that when he came in, a lot of people thought he'd be playing a lot earlier than this.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think a lot of these young guys have a chance to legit make a noise this spring, as well as a guy like the freshman Shea Robertson's a guy that also a lot of people told me like he could play.
Yeah.
So that obviously that's not for spring ball, but that's the position group that I am going to be watching like a freaking hawk, trying to figure out who's going to be playing those spots, what the scheme's going to be looking like, because I think that's the most important group when it comes to the team's overall success. I think the restriction, I guess. Yeah. They were kind of the floor of the team, or I guess I should say they were the ceiling of the team. We kind of went as far as the linebackers could stop teams. And so
for sure. And I mean, you would just imagine most coaches on the opposing teams are going to game plan for the run defense. Yep. I mean, for running up the middle or running in general, because the last 2 years, Eastern was pretty much dead last, I believe, in pretty much every running category. Yep. So I'm glad you kind of mentioned some of the young guys. I think we're going to talk about that a little later anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is a position group where we need to figure out and have quite a bit of depth and rotation, because especially the first half of the season, people are going to try and run it down our throats. So, I mean, the front seven is going to get a little exhausted, I assume. So we do have a lot of talent in the younger guys, and I'm glad you mentioned quite a bit of their names, because I want to see that rotation. I want to see the depth, because people are going to try and expose it.
Yeah, I'm going to hold up. I'm going to pull up the roster really quick.
Yeah.
So, you know, just looking at these guys, Cohen,
Thurman played a little bit.
He's he's more of an experienced guy. He's going to be a senior, but, you know, he hasn't played a ton.
Right.
Cohen and Thomas Sr. are guys that have played a solid amount, and I expect them both to play. But, like, you know, there is experience, and then there's young guys. This guy, Vincent Mascaluso, I think is how you say it. He's a dude. You watch his high school tape, and you're like, oh, shit. Like, yeah. Bishop Blakely is a guy that, you know, he's always in front of the camera, a guy that all the teammates love, and he's one of the most jacked dudes on the team. Yeah. Like, every player, like, in this little group has something going for them to why they have a chance at, you know, making plays and getting a lot of playing time this year. I think my one that I'm keeping my eye on the closest is Imani Williams. But
for sure,
you know, there's so much talent in this young group that I don't think people know about, for one. And you know, I don't know if people are expecting it either. And then my second position group that I was really keeping an eye on pretty closely is the offensive line, like I said. And weirdly, we're returning 4 of our 5 starters and 6 of the 7 guys that really rotated in. We only lost Seth Carnahan, who played. He played right tackle. He's pretty consistent there. But he played right or left tackle. I can't remember which tackle it was, but he was pretty consistent there. But everyone else is coming back. The projected starting lineup: left tackle Wyatt Hansen. He played a lot of left tackle last year. Rotated at left guard and left tackle. Then Luke Dahlgren probably at left guard. Jack Seeley at center. Bren Rivera at right guard, Matt Battaglia at right tackle. All of those guys have a ton of playing experience. All those guys have played together for, you know, 2 or 3 years now. Seeley was a JUCO guy that he was the only one that wasn't recruited and signed by Eastern Washington and developed by Eastern Washington. He came in last year and started right away. There's a few little like dumb little mental errors between him and the guards, but after about game 2 or 3, they really closed down. So in pass protection, these guys have been awesome. My question goes into what you were saying: is we gotta develop that running game. Last year, the biggest issue with this offense was the offensive line struggle getting up to the second level, and being everyone returning, we need to see just a half a step up to get those hands on linebackers, because when we got a hand on a linebacker, we were able to run the ball pretty well. A big example of that is that Weber State game. Like, we were able to get hands on those two backers who were probably the best two linebackers in the conference. And it was Jack Kelly who led the conference in sacks. And then Winston Reed, who was I think he was number 2 in defensive MVP votes for the season. So we were able to get hands on those guys those games, and we were able to run the ball. And I think that's really a key to this team's success this year is, hey, can they step up just half a step athleticism wise? They got the size. They just need to get the hands on the backers. That's going to be something that I'm going to be insanely annoying about on the podcast, because I've been watching that really hard I played offensive line in high school. So
yeah,
that's definitely something I'm keeping an eye on. Another guy that got some playing time last year is a redshirt sophomore, Dylan Connor. He filled in when Battaglia got hurt. I think it was either Battaglia or Carnahan got hurt. And, it was like the Weber State game and then the game right after the Weber State game. I'm blanking. But he played a couple games as a redshirt freshman. He looked really good. So
we're going to see Dylan at all this year in the rotation? I mean, he's just got freak size, right? I think he's like 350 pounds, 360.
Which one?
Dylan. It's a Samoan name. I'm going to butcher it. Misalafu or...
We'll see. I haven't
really seen him at all last year, and you just see him on the sideline, and I mean, it's just a freak of nature.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He has a lot of experience. I mean it wouldn't surprise me to see him in there at all. Part of me is like, hey, if he didn't play last year,
right,
you know, a redshirt freshman is starting over him, hey, maybe not what's wrong, but you know, maybe that just means his freshman's real good, because he looked good he's blocking Jack Kelly, who one of the best pass rushers in the league last year. He had like something ridiculous, like he had like freaking 15 sacks or something. I don't remember what it was, something nuts. But so, you know, we'll see. I definitely think they'll rotate guys, because you know, Hansen's a guy who he's more naturally a guard, but he played a lot of tackle last year, and you know, he struggled sometimes with speed rushers on the edge. But then he was a really good. He was good in the run game out there. So, you know, we'll see. I think it's going to be a give and take, where they kind of rotate guys around and mess with who's in on what downs, what situation, what we're doing. I wonder almost, probably not like a lot, but I wonder almost if they're going to have more of a run 5, and then more of a pass blocking 5 to an extent. And obviously, you don't want to do that. You know, give away what you're doing before the play. But
right,
it could be something that something to look out for.
Okay.
And so now we're going to move into more just more individual names. For each position group, we're going to give you guys one or two names to kind of keep an eye on. And these are going to be more guys that haven't made much of an impact yet and guys that may make more of an impact in 2024. That was kind of the idea of this. Do you have your names like kind of ready?
No. Mind? So I'm just going to, we're going to go. You know, I've thought about it a little bit. And mm-hmm. there's some guys that I've wanted to see even from when we were recruiting them, because I follow recruiting. I love recruiting. And I mean, there's just some heavy hitters that we've had in the last few years that we just haven't seen much of. And mm-hmm. I think we do have a young, very talented roster that I would just finally love to see on that playing field and actually get some rotation in there, because I think we do have some hidden gems and some real playmakers that just mm-hmm. haven't sprouted off yet.
Yeah. Let's go. Do you want to go defense first or offensive first? I'll put it.
Let's go defense, because defense will be a little bit tougher. There's a lot of guys we probably want to see.
Yeah, it's very true. Let's go back to front here. Okay. Who's kind of your corner that you're hoping to see more of here? I will
share. Yeah, so the one I have wanted to see ever since we recruited him, Jonathan Landry, right? Mm-hmm. So you know, he's a redshirt freshman. Of course, we redshirted him last year, but I mean, this is a guy who had offers to Virginia. He had offers to pretty much every Mountain West team. And now I don't know why he decided to pick Eastern, but I mean, this was one of the biggest recruits of that year. So when you're watching him come in, I mean, he's athletic, he's fast. This is a guy that I think can really put this DB group on the map, which was a really talented group in general, mm-hmm. but I want to see him make that stride. We redshirted him probably for a reason, right? Maybe pack on some weight, pack on some muscle, learn some schemes a little more, because this guy could be a freak of nature in the Big Sky. I mean, again, he had 10 different scholarship offers. And if, you know, an ACC school like Virginia, Utah State, Nevada, UNLV is trying to get this guy and he picked Eastern, he's probably a pretty talented player overall. And hopefully we can develop him to be that monster of a DB that we, you know, we've had in the last few years.
Yeah, I also my first name that came to mind was Landry. You know, really the rest of these guys that are listed as corners have all really played.
Yeah.
When you look at it,
the DB group I'm not worried about.
Yeah, I'm not worried about them at all. They were all young last year. Most of them were, you know, young guys that haven't played a ton. I think there was one upperclassman last year in Samson who is kind of weirdly, I don't know if this is an error or what, but he's still on the roster for the 2024 season. There's so many guys that I'm like sitting here like they're seniors last year, right? Well, and then
did he
like,
get a medical redshirt? Because he didn't play.
He barely much. Played last year
because he was injured. So I think Samson got probably a medical redshirt.
He totally could have, and it's kind of crazy because he came out of high school in 2018.
He's still playing. I think he only played three or four games.
Yeah, he played in three games, started in only one of them, missed eight due to injury.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, he's a guy that it looks like he's coming back. Really, I don't have another name. Landry was the guy I was going to go with. The only other two that we haven't seen a ton, Zion Jones, he's a guy that wears a single-digit number, so normally
and he's long.
Pretty good.
I mean, our DBs are not the tallest, right? So it would be kind of nice to see, you know, he's still a little scrawny. You know, I don't mean to say that in a negative way. So hopefully he can, you know, pack on some muscle because he's young, right? If we can pack on some weight, he'll probably be pretty solid. But, you know, to be 6'2", that's going to match up well with most of the wide receivers in the Big Sky. So, you know, I'm sure he's extremely fast. I didn't watch any of his tape, you know, when we were recruiting him. But, I mean, yeah, it'd be really nice to have a DB that's, you know, above 6 foot because – That's where we kind of struggle. We're not
shout
the tallest
out to Cage
team.
Skank, 5'8". Shout out to Cage Skank being 5'8", playing.
Oh, and he's a beast. Ball. He doesn't play like he's 5'8", right?
Yeah.
None of our DBs play like they're small. That's impressive. No,
he played very well last year, being kind of that slot corner. He had to come up in the box. He's playing some outside linebacker last year, dude. He played damn well.
Yeah.
For being a guy that low, I guess he's a senior. What? For some reason, I thought he was way younger.
But no, Cage has been around for a while.
He's been around for a while. Okay. Next one we're going to go to position group. We're going to go to the safeties. What's the first name that kind of comes to mind for you in the safety group.
So let's see here. I mean, of course, Drew Carter. We got to see him a little bit last year.
Pretty good amount last year.
Yeah, I mean, he played in what, bulk of the season?
He started most of the year.
Yeah. So, I mean, watching him play, Amani Presley too, and Armani Orange, I mean, those are the guys that I want to see, kind of the young guys who kind of jump up there. But, I mean, we saw Drew Carter really take a big step up this last year, and, you know, he ended up being kind of a leader. So, I mean, those are kind of the guys that maybe we didn't see as much that I would love to start noticing. Because, again, just our defense, we need a lot of depth. I don't think we had as much depth because they were all so young the last few seasons. I don't think we had as much depth as maybe a lot of the other top-tier Big Sky schools. And you kind of saw that in the fourth quarter. I mean, the Idaho State game kind of comes to mind, and it still makes me want to, you know, jump off the Golden Gate Bridge because of how that game ended. But, yeah, I mean, Drew Carter was a beast. I loved watching him play. But, again, the DBs and the safeties, I'm not too worried. I think the backside of our defense is extremely talented because, I mean, Gantner Jr., we even got to see him a little bit.
So Ganter was my pick for a guy that keep an eye on. He made some big plays last year, big moments, even though he didn't get nearly as much playing time as a guy like he only played in three games last year, but he had the big PBU to win the game versus Weber State.
Right.
Like he made the big plays in the big moments when he played. So I'm really excited about Ganter. And he has great size at least weight wise. He doesn't look like a skinny safety like some of the guys we've seen at Easter in the past. And then we're going to move to the big hitter, the linebacking group here.
Yeah, and you already touched on it a lot, so I want you to keep going on this one.
Yeah, hold up. I'm trying to scroll and find them on the thing here. So for me, I think the two that we're really looking at, my big one is Amani Williams. I think he's going to be a guy that potentially takes someone's job this year. He's, from all accounts, great guy, hard worker. He's a guy that, you know, if you watch Nolan Ohm's vlogs, he was in Nolan Ohm's vlog from last year. So hard worker. I think he's the big one for me that I think was going to kind of have a breakout season this year. Do you have any other guys in particular that you're?
I mean, Bishop Blakely.
Yeah.
You know, he only appeared in four games, something like that. But I mean, when you were watching him come out of high school, that was another recruit where I was just like, man, this guy could be a beast for this struggling front seven. So yeah, I mean, Bishop Blankley, Williams, those are the two guys. Then I want to see if Miles improves. You know, he's going to be one of the smaller guys, but he actually got some playing time. And he had some big hits. So yeah, I mean, I'm optimistic. You already touched on it quite a bit. So, but yeah, those are going to be the two guys. I do think Amani Williams is going to probably take someone's job. And, you know, I'm not hoping for it, but I'm hoping for it at the same time. Because if he's taking someone's job, it's because he's earned it.
He's got the athleticism that you see and you're like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah,
because in the few snaps he played last year, you could see maybe he missed a read or something like that. You know, a young guy mistakes. He was only a redshirt sophomore last year. But, like, you see him, and when he goes, like, real fast. And so I'm just excited to see the athleticism mixed with a little bit of size. I mean, he's not, like, the biggest linebacker you've ever seen in the world, but he's got enough size to play well. I wonder if he's going to be more of a Mike backer, if he's going to be more of a Will backer. We'll see, just kind of depending on what coach wants to do.
Yeah.
Moving on to the defensive line, do you have anyone in particular that you want to hit on?
So, I mean, we're probably not going to see him that much, but I really want to see him in the spring to kind of see where he's advanced. And that's Tylan Jackson.
Yeah.
And this is just because, you know, this is a freak athletic kid, and he didn't even start playing football until his junior year in high school. I mean, that's pretty wild. Start playing football your junior year in high school and you get a D1 offer and now you're playing D1 football. So, I mean, in terms of athleticism, he's probably one of the most athletic dudes on the defensive side of the ball, but he's still got quite a bit to learn. So, you know, I want to see him again. I don't think he's going to be a starter by any means, just because he is so new to the game. But I want to see him in the spring ball and just kind of see what happens, because this is where you're going to start to see some superstars. This is where you're going to start to see some potential, some depth. So, again, that's probably an off one that you weren't even thinking about. But I want to see if he can make that stride and have learned the game just a little bit more, because I think he's got great size. He's you know, a quick kid. Man, I think he could be a monster at the defensive end if he just kind of learns that game a little bit more. So I want to see him. I want to see him in action. Let's see what he has.
So Tylan was one that I was thinking. I was trying to do more of an edge guy and then more of an interior guy. I came up with two edge guys and one interior guy.
Okay.
Edge guy number one was Tylan Jackson.
Oh god.
Edge guy number two.
Look at us go.
Incoming transfer from Nevada, Caleb. I believe it's Caleb. Oh man, what's his? I have the notes down. Caleb Manson.
Okay.
He is 6'6", 215 pounds coming in. He has 3 years of eligibility remaining. I'm not sure if he's on campus this spring or not, but he's a transfer from Nevada. He was a three-star recruit coming out. Very, very long, athletic dude. He's a guy that I think could come in right away, especially on, you know, third downs and pass rushing situations, because his pass rushing tape is legit. Looks legit. But he is 215 pounds at 6'6". He's real slim. And so, you know, the physicality is going to be the big question mark with him. He's made a few plays in the run game, looking at like high school tape and looking at practice tape. But, you know, he's not a guy that we've seen a ton of, you know, in game. But I think he's a guy that could definitely see some time next year. He will be a redshirt sophomore, I believe, eligibility wise. Okay. But then here's my other guy. And I'm going to be honest.
I literally have him up right now. I was going to ask you about Jaira.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I don't know. Like, I tried to pronounce it at one point. It's like
Let's both try, right? So then people can butcher us online.
I think it's like Lea Pipitele, like something
that's
like
better
that.
Than what I was going to say. I was going to say Liu Pipitele. So yours is way better. I mean, the nice thing about this is you can – that little ear.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll pronounce it for us. Which is fantastic. But no, this is another guy that I have pulled up right now that I wanted to ask you a little bit about. So I'm glad you're bringing him up.
Yeah, he was a guy, he played in 8 games last year, kind of sparingly. He came in more situationally on particularly like rundowns.
Yeah.
I like our front, dude.
Yeah.
I like the talent in our front a lot. Jaira's a guy, he's, look at it, 322 pounds.
You're not going to see a lot of people bully him.
He don't move like he's 322 either. He's real talented. He's a young dude. He's only a sophomore next year. He got playing time as a true freshman. But he didn't make the hugest impact last year just because he didn't play. He wasn't a continually rotated in all the time, just depending on the game, like the situations and stuff. But I'm thinking this year he'll probably be more of a mainstay in that rotation. Probably, you know, he'll be twos, maybe threes, just depending on, again, one, how many defensive linemen are on the field. But, you know, on that, I think he's a guy that's really talented. He's big. He's relatively long. And, you know, he played very well in, like, that C-Law game and the Idaho games. He played pretty well up the middle. He's a guy that I think has a lot of potential
Sweet.
To be, like, one of those. Not saying he's going to be JT Tiuli, but he's a guy that reminds me of JT when he was young.
Yeah.
That
still just bums me out that we couldn't see him against North Dakota State in 2018, but it is what it is.
Another thing to note, Jacob Newsom, another guy I thought that graduated, and he's apparently back. So let's go, dude. Like, I scrolled through the 2024 roster, and I'm like, geez, we brought back a lot of those guys that I thought we lost, that I was concerned about on the D-line, Brock Harrison, and Newsom were two of the guys that I was pretty concerned about. But now we're going to move. We'll go front to back on the defense. We'll go offensive line next. Who's your guy that you're wondering if it will – obviously, there's not a lot of spots available on the offensive line right now, but if there was an injury, if whatever, who's your guy that you're keeping an eye on in this
spring? I mean, this is kind of the new age where we just need a size. And, you know, when we're looking at offensive line guys, and Eastern's been pretty – historically good on the offensive side of the ball, offensive line side of the ball. But I mean, when you're looking at like the South Dakota States, the North Dakota States, what they're doing is they're grabbing a lot of these dudes who are 6'6", 250 pounds out of high school, and they're kind of forming them into these monsters. So, I mean, anytime I see someone who is maybe like a Dylan Connor, right? I don't think he's going to be ready. I don't think he has a size yet, but you know, 6'5", 290, this is going to be one of those guys where hopefully we can pack on a little bit more muscle, a little bit more weight, And then I think he could be a monster in the future. But like you said, we have quite a bit of experience returning. So I don't think we're going to see a lot of new faces on the offensive line side. But I want to see, at least in the spring, maybe some young guys who are going to get some playing time and try and at least show us what the future is going to be, because we are going to lose quite a bit of guys in the next few years, right?
All five of them.
Yeah. So we're going to need to see who's going to be the next team coming up. So again, it's a weird little answer, and it's a cop-out answer, because I don't think we're really going to see many this year that we haven't seen or that we're really excited to see. But I hope some get some playing time in the spring so I can at least see what 2025 is going to look like, 2026 is going to look like.
Yep. So,
and that's going to be all of them. I mean, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So Dylan Connor is the one guy that if a young guy is going to take someone's job, it's going to be Dylan Connor. He's the one that's played this year, the last couple of years. He's gotten playing time. In terms of like spring wise, there's a few freshmen that I think actually have the potential to eventually, you know, get in there pretty early. But David Shin, JUCO transfer from Mount Jacinto or whatever. He was a Utah Tech bounce back. He's a good player. He's going to be consistent and a guy that could come in at one of those guard spots, barring injury or whatever, and succeed right away. He played tackle at the junior college, but he played guard at Utah Tech. So he's more of an interior guy in terms of like the skill set, but he can play on the edge if he has to. I think he's probably going to be one of those guys staying ready, because if anyone gets hurt, he'll probably get thrown in the mix as well as Dylan Connor. I bet you David's the interior guy that'll go in at either guard or center or whatever. Okay. And then Dylan will probably be the outside guy that'll go in those situations, as well as Dylan. That he's a guy that, you know, experienced and a guy that I would assume is looking at some playing time, being a JUCO guy. He has a lot of size. My question is, can he move being that big? And so, well, I mean, we'll see. And other than that, these are all young guys that'll be, you know, we'll be looking at the future for. But, you know, all five of our guys, Hansen, Dahlgren, Seeley, Rivera, and Battagay, all five of them are graduating this year, exhausting eligibility this year. I'm pretty sure. I think Rivera could technically maybe have a COVID. No, that's his fifth year. Just, you know, looking, because I don't think he redshirted. But, they really don't have anyone besides 79 that Dylan Connor that has played at all that'll be back next year.
Right.
So that's kind of why I picked this one, because I was like, obviously we know the five, but dude, like next year they're all gone. Like
we're right.
Completely new. I'm assuming Shin's going to be part of that. And I'm assuming some of these other younger guys will be too, but moving on, let's go tight ends. Tight end is one that I haven't thought about a ton just because it's been such a stable position with Goble for so long. Like I haven't like barely even thought about it. Do you have a name right away?
Let's see here. Let's see. I know like we have some guys that aren't our traditional size.
So Jet Carpenter, you know, and JP Murphy both got playing time last year. I believe Carpenter like really had a gnarly injury, if I'm remembering right. Murphy came in blocking situations, and Landon Cooper's probably who I was planning on going with.
He's a Messiah JUCO.
Messiah Jones.
Just because of his, like, again, I'm going off of some of these other teams that I've been watching religiously too. And, you know, South Dakota State comes in mind. They use their tight ends better than probably any roster I've seen at the FCS level. I mean, maybe North Dakota State as well. But, I mean, these guys are freak. They're big. They're tall. I mean, I would love to see a guy who's 6'6", 250, kind of, especially in the red zone, make a big difference. I mean, I like Austin York, you know, but he's smaller. I want to see some big freak of nature in the end zone for red zones to really, you know, develop some crazy plays, because that's one thing we did struggle with the last few years. We were really good at moving the ball down the field, but once we got to the red zone, I mean, it just was not the same type of offense. So maybe having this big guy like a Messiah Jones, that would be, man, I hope he can develop into somewhere where we need it. Because, yeah, I want to see those big guys.
So Jones, he played a little bit last year.
Yeah.
I don't remember how much exactly, but
only a few games, and it was like very little in those games as well.
But the one I'm keeping my eye on, Landon Cooper. Landon is he's a junior college guy. He is one of the best blockers I've ever seen at that size on tape. This dude just dominated at the junior college level, and obviously it doesn't always translate. But he plays very, very similar to how Austin York plays, another Butte College guy. So it's just kind of the parallels were kind of funny. Landon's a little taller, but they're very similar players. And I almost think Landon will be a guy that comes in, maybe not takes Austin's job, but will compete with him for it, because Landon's a dude like I've never seen the domination from a 6'3", 235 tight end like that.
Right.
And on tape. So I think he's going to be big in the run game. He's really athletic at getting on those backers and handling edge guys in his face. He's really good in every aspect of blocking from the tape I saw. His tape is probably 70% pancakes, and then the rest of it's like, you know, pretty good offensive plays, but you know, the blocking was what caught my eye on his tape personally. And then Masai Jones also is a guy that he has the size and the potential. He played a little bit last year to be like a big time guy. I don't particularly remember him being super insanely highly recruited or anything, but
right.
A guy that, you know, could make some noise. And then Carpenter and Murphy also both, they played well. They blocked well. Carpenter is a guy that I think probably would have played more last year if it wasn't for an injury. So it's a position group that is definitely interesting. Yeah. Moving on, we'll go to the receivers. Obviously the receivers is what Eastern's known for. And we know who 1 and 2 are. It's not even close to a conversation. That's Afton Chisholm and that's Nolan Olm. But behind them, who is number one? I think Miles Williams is going to be the answer for both of us. But other than Miles Williams, let's get someone that you think will rotate in and play more this year.
Yeah, so, I mean, one of them that I think actually has a really good shot too, and we're not going to see him this spring, but Jackson Branch.
He could, yep.
I mean, this is a guy, so I get it. We're talking about spring football, so that's kind of a bummer. Is he even on it?
He will be. They just have the guys that are on campus.
Yeah, because Jackson Branch is a guy who was recruited by 3 Power 5 teams. I mean, this is a dude who I have no clue why NIU didn't go after him. I mean, he's from Chandler, Arizona, where I lived for a while. And, I mean, this guy is a freak. He's a stud. This is a guy as a freshman who I think can make an immediate impact and be just a murderer. But another one that's going to be a little bit weird, and it's because we have a really good and elite wide receiver group. I'm not worried about the wide receiver group at all.
Yeah.
But we don't have a lot of speed on the wide receiver side. I want to say JT Ware, right? He's tiny. He's a little guy. I want to see him in the return game too. But, I mean, this kid is fast. Again, he's small, but I want to see almost like a DeSean Jackson type of play where, you know, just send him on a streak, see what happens. I want to see that type of thing in the spring season to see, you know, does he have the speed that I was hoping for? Because again, if you're that little, and I don't mean that to be rude by any means, and you're playing Division I football, it's because you have a very, very great skill set. So I want to see if maybe we can use him on the streak. But again, Jackson Branch is a guy who I think makes some huge strides as a freshman. We might want to redshirt him, pack on a little bit of weight. But, I mean, this wide receiver room, I'm not worried about at all.
Yeah, no. All 6 of the guys that are coming in are guys that have legit talent to play. Like, I don't know, sometimes when recruiting classes come, you see a guy and you're like, okay, like, it's depth. You have those guys. All 5, 6 of these guys from this recruiting class are all guys that I'm like, oh, they're going to be good.
Yeah.
Cronquist was spoken probably the most highly of in terms of the guy and the production by Jeff McDaniels on our interview with him. But the guy that I'm really, really excited to see play is Jalen Garrison, because this dude, I don't know if you've had a chance to watch his tape.
But yeah.
Holy shit.
Say it out loud. Just yell it.
We don't need to get demonetized. But he is like, Jeff McDaniels is like, he's probably the fastest, if not one of the fastest players in the entire program. He's only been playing football for, this will be his 4th year. So he's a guy with, like, talking some very, very high ceiling. He's one of the fastest dudes I've really ever seen on tape in terms of looking at, you know, he's a JUCO guy, so he's a junior, but I'm not sure if we're going to see him right away. Kind of, right. We'll see. He definitely is a guy that it kind of sounded like he might be more of a redshirt, because he's, again, fourth year playing football. He doesn't have that experience.
Yeah.
But the other guy that I'm kind of, you know, keeping an eye on, besides obviously, you know, Miles Williams. Miles Williams is the de facto number one, but I think anyone that follows Eastern knows, keep an eye on Miles Williams because he's talented as hell. The other one is Marcellus Honeycutt. Is a guy that another one that McDaniel spoke very highly of when I was talking to him after the show. He's a guy that worker, and he, you know, has a lot of talent. He's, you know, not the biggest dude you've ever seen in the world, but a lot of talent, a lot of speed. And so, I mean, this whole receiver room, most of them are going to be new faces that we haven't really seen before, besides the three, Miles Williams, Nolan Olmef, and Chisholm. Yeah. And so I think that 4, 5, and 6 kind of rotating in receivers is kind of up for grabs. I think Noah Cronquist is going to be pretty safely the number 4, but then the rest of those spots are all going to be kind of up for grabs. Cronquist, another guy that you might want to keep an eye on, just because you want to see how his speed and quickness matches up with, you know, D1 talent, because we haven't really seen it in a while. Mm-hmm. He played for Southern Utah in like 2019 or something nuts. So it was a long time ago. So,
right.
You know, we'll see how the talent really matches up with a D1 level. Cause he's a dude that, like, when you watch his tape, he's not like a, whoa, that guy's fast, but he also put up like 2,400 all purpose yards last year.
Right.
So, you know, he's going to be productive, just depending on, how everything goes. Next one, I believe we're going to go, we'll go quarterback first, and then we'll go running back, because I think quarterback, there's not a ton to talk about. Obviously, it's Kikoa, just because, I mean, you could say Michael Wortham, but I think we're more interested in Kikoa as an actual quarterback. You know, seeing how he develops, keeping eyes on him, seeing how the accuracy is developing, because he's one of those guys, like, if the accuracy is just a dial up, he's going to be big time problem in the Big Sky,
and I for sure
he can be an offensive player of the year candidate if this year goes to how we think it can. He'll be a guy that puts up a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
You know, I think you have probably a similar
yeah, I mean, on that. I want to see, because again, he had a pretty good sophomore campaign, but I want to see the improvement from Kikoa. There's a couple times where, you know, Eastern, we've had quarterbacks, and again, this is so unfair because we've just had a very fortunate series of quarterbacks the last 15, 20 years, to where it's not fair to compare every new quarterback to what we've had in the past. And Kikoa does a lot of great things, but, you know, thrown down the field, the arm strength, the accuracy, that's kind of where it was lacking a little bit. And I want to see, the improvement. I do want to see Michael Wortham, just because he's so dynamic as a player. But I'm kind of curious if we'll even get to see maybe Nate Bell play a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we have a very short quarterback room, but that's just Eastern Washington football. But I kind of want to see, maybe Nate Bell, to see who's maybe the future after a few years. But I want to see we need to drop more plays for Michael Wortham. Every time he touches the ball, I mean, it's just dynamic. So I don't like the Montana State 2 quarterback system, but we do have two guys who can really flip a game on its axis and take over. So,
and I mean,
I want to see what Michael Wortham can do, especially if he can improve throwing the ball.
Yeah.
If Michael Wortham can improve throwing the ball, this is where I go, maybe there is a little bit of a quarterback controversy, because with his legs, I mean, he might be the best weapon we've had in a very long time in terms of just a dynamic football player. So if he can improve throwing the ball, this might be one of those times where I go, let's see what he can do. So, but yeah, I mean, the quarterback room, we probably already know what we're getting. It's Kiko is to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, JT will probably play a little bit. I'm assuming he's a guy that you need a yard. He's going to go get you that yard.
Oh yeah.
He's more running
right up the middle.
He's more of a run through you. Kiko was more a run around you. Michael Wortham is just blink and he's gone. So, you know, there's a lot of dynamic differences and stuff in this quarterback room. I'm really excited to see Wortham. I almost wonder if he's going to be playing a lot of running back this year.
I mean, I would utilize him wherever you can.
Yeah,
throw him in the slot, throw him in running back, throw him wherever. I don't care.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to get a lot more looks as the primary weapon this year. Part of it, I think last year's, I know he was a little banged up, and I think they were trying to keep him healthy. But another thing with Wortham, like, he was the number three in the country in kick return yards last year.
Yeah.
No one noticed. Like, yeah. No one noticed. He's a backup quarterback doing that. So I really think he is probably one of the highest ceilings of anyone on the offense, really. Efton and him are the two guys that I'm like, those guys can be legit game changers that will just take things over.
For sure.
And then we'll round it out here. The running back room. Do you have any guys in particular you're trying to keep an eye on? I think the one guy that everyone is kind of wondering about is Malik Dotson. Yep. He's a guy that came in and we kind of...
With Jared Taylor.
Yeah, heard a lot about him, and he started off more as a two, and then Jackson kind of had a pretty good season, but yeah. He kind of dealt with injuries, and then it became Tuna and just Tuna, and then when Tuna wasn't playing running back, it was like Michael Wortham, and I don't know, it got kind of confusing, but Dotson's a guy that played a little bit last year. I think he's probably the guy to keep an eye on.
Agree.
Of the group. I've heard some good things about Montoya being a little quick guy. He had a pretty good moment in the spring game last year, scoring a couple touchdowns. He could be a little bit of a change of pace, really speedy guy. But I think Dotson and Tuna are pretty similar. I mean, they're almost built the exact same. So
yeah. Run down your throat.
Run down your throat and all that. All right, Kyler, I think that's about all we got. Do you have any other like kind of final thoughts, just looking into spring ball, things you should look out for and all that stuff?
Not really, but I'm optimistic. The thing about the spring ball is I get a little nervous, right? Because if the defense plays extremely well, now I'm nervous for the offense. If the offense is torturing him, now I'm like, oh, no, is this the same defense that we've seen the last few years? So, yeah. No, I mean, I'm optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty optimistic, too. I'm just excited to see the guys on the field. I'm excited to look at the young guys, see how the defense is, how it's changing a little bit with the new regime. So hopefully we'll have a couple new coaches by the time we get there. But, yeah, I think that's about going to do it for us. Kyler, do you have any last thoughts before we close it out?
No, again, just keep plugging away. It seems like we're going to have a couple few exciting guests that I think the listeners will love to watch. So, No, keep killing it, man.
Yeah, we got a couple really nice, fun guests lined up here. So definitely keep listening and pay attention because we got some, I guess, not big time, but, you know, guys that are very close to the program, I will say. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, that'll do it for us. Kyler, go ahead and give your social media a little bit of a shout out, and then we'll close it out here.
Oh, yeah. You guys can just follow me, Kyler EPH, Eagles Power, right? I'm not on here as much, but yeah, follow me there. Talk crap to me. I don't care. Let's have a good time.
Hell yeah. And shout out to the basketball team, man. Big Sky Champs once again. We'll be doing a little bit of basketball stuff here soon, talking about that. But, Alrighty, thanks everyone for listening, and go Eagles!